Cuck-a-doodle-doo!
Yeah!
Should I do it now?
Yeah, do it now.
Do it live.
After,
do it live! Thank you for tuning into the Freedom Fiends. This is where America gets together to talk about the issues you really care about. It's a different kind of a radio talk show. We're the radio show that is not hosted by a right-wing wacko or a convicted felon. No!
Is this Tom Likas you're doing?
Yeah.
At first, I thought you were just trying to be like the Square Boy Scout or something, but no.
Yeah, no. Okay, no. But do it, Tom. You made me do it.
Do it live.
We don't have a call-in number, so I can't do the rest. But thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being part of our program. Here we are together again on the radio.
It's 1-800-666-1234. Go ahead and call it.
I think it was 424-666-1909. That was
either.
The,
we have two lines. Yeah. No waiting. We'll put both of you on at once, and you can argue.
And the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT, no government license. It allows reuse by anyone except governments. I think the actual word is state governments. But you can learn more at BIPCOT.org. So, yeah. So, tell me about your app.
Well, we did this ad for it. I'm going to play a little bit of it, just a little bit of it, because it'll play later in the show. But it's the Fiends Android app, and you can get it free by going to Freedom Fiends and clicking on the upper right corner. But here's the ad. It's Sangeeta doing the ad.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free Android app for your phone, tablet, phablet, or other Chrome robot turd. The app is available now from the Google Play Store, from Amazon, and from freedomfiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode feature, and so much more. You know, the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world. But when the Fiends aren't live, you can also use the app to listen to LRN.fm from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free. And of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends. Review it on Google Play and Amazon. Prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio. And get ready for it there with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms.
Yeah, and that's our former Worms. Virtual Android host, Sangeeta. She's hot. I'd hit it.
Totally. Yeah, I couldn't resist touching my body. But
you know, she's supposed to be from India, but I think she sounds more Jamaican on that one. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think she is Jamaican. I think she's lying to us.
Someone says that when she says BIPCOT, it sounds like she says Bumbacot. And I said, yeah, that's what our license is called in Jamaica. It's the Bumbacot No Babylon License, man. Yeah.
I want some jerk chicken now.
Jerked chicken. Yeah. Those places just sell weed.
Yeah.
What's that noise? You got like your nebulizer going there, Jim?
I think so. I don't know what's going on. I think my computer's making a weird noise.
Yeah. Make it stop.
Oh, well.
So Cantwell. Yeah. Yeah. Chris Narkwell.
He's a fame whore.
Man. He says he's a fame whore. He must listen to the Fiends, too, because in his latest episode, he talks about, he's like, I'm so into race that I should call my show The Racial Agenda instead of The Radical Agenda. And that's my joke. It totally is my joke. What are you doing, Jim? I hear you across the room. You're chasing
my computer.
Jim left. Chasing your cat. He's trying to mine Dogecoins. He's mining Dogecoins. Yeah, I looked at Jim's other app purchases on Google Play. One of them is like Dogecoin miner for your Android phone or something. Right?
It's the best.
It's the Dogecoin dating app, right?
Yeah, and what it does is it makes your phone overheat.
Yeah, you notice the one thing I did not put that we push on the Fiends that I did not put as an option on the Android app is the torrents, because torrenting anything, seeding anything on a phone would just be you'd get a bill at the end of the month for like $5,000 for the throughput. Yeah. So anyway,
you can enable it to be only Wi-Fi.
But, well, then your phone, with Wi-Fi, your phone would heat enough that you could, like, boil your coffee on it in the morning, too.
Yeah, right? It's not a good idea.
Yeah, you use your old Windows computer from 5 years ago to torrent the fiends, and use your chromed robot turd to experience the fiends. So, yeah, Cantwell. Cantwell. What did this guy do today? Narkwell. He narked. He called the cops. He loves the cops.
He was very proud of the cops.
His buddies. I know, he probably called his boyfriend the cop on his cop friend's cell phone. Probably didn't call 911.
Either that or his handlers. I don't know. You know.
Ew.
However you want to look at it.
I'm having a bad long day, and he wishes me dead. But you know what? I'm getting on. I wasn't going to be on here today, but it's like I will use my last dying breath to make fun of this guy because it's that important. You know, it's funny when people who live in the 18th century, Amish people who intentionally live in the 18th century, do a fundamental of liberty better than most libertarians. They do shunning really well. They will excommunicate you, and that's what libertarians should do. They also like didn't pay federal income tax for a long time and fought the government on putting license plates on their vehicles.
Yeah.
And they like raw milk. They're like libertarians with too many rules.
they really are. And they're such a simple people.
Yeah. And they let you go, like, you know, they let the kids do Rum Springer. They let them go out and shoot crystal meth and have gay sex and then come back. So, is like, they let
kind
you
of free range parenting.
Yeah.
Well, only what is it when they're 16 or 18 they're allowed the males are allowed to do it. I think it's only the males. No, though, that's the girls both, do. Man. I don't remember.
Yeah, I like that because it's you know, you get to choose. It's a conscious decision. It's not. I've never seen the other side. But Cantwell's seen the other side. Do you guys think he's on meth or do you think it's the newts? He's losing weight. His voice is getting high and squeaky.
Yeah, you see, you said that, and I thought you were just hearing things, but oh my goodness, he almost sounded like he was on helium in that clip that I know. I caught. He really
Today's
is. He,
podcast
really,
with him,
yeah. And it really is. It's bizarre how thick his Long Island, Long Island quasi Brooklyn accent has all of a sudden come back.
I know. He sounds like an old Jewish lady. Now.
Yeah,
or no, you know who he sounds like? He sounds like Archie Bunker's wife. It's more of a Queens or Bronx accent.
I don't know if that's the right thing to do. Will you shut up,
Edith? Yeah. Somebody tried to give me his home address yesterday. I'm like, I don't want that. I'm not going to go over to his house.
No. Oh God, no.
And he's not going to come over to my house. You know why? Wyoming is about the last state you'd want to show up on someone's property and mess with them. The Castle
Doctrine. Implying he leaves the house.
They teach Castle Doctrine in kindergarten here. It's so entrenched. Yeah. So what do you do, man? Tell me about this video, Jeremy.
Well, I couldn't stomach much of it, but he was very proud. He said he was on his way to the store, and some guys started harassing him.
Some guys trying to engage in commerce with him.
Yeah, and
trying to sell him food stamps, basically.
Yes, and he got very angry about this, and said he waited for the guy to go whatever door he went into, so he could call the cops and tell him where this individual was who was trying, and he was proud of himself that he was turning this person in for.
I think he was a cock.
Did he say it like that?
Man.
I mean, I don't get that. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of people, you know, getting stuff for, I guess,
me neither.
Nothing. But still, there's, I don't know.
Really, the crime isn't the people getting the food stamps or selling it. It's the fact that the government makes them widely available, you know.
Yeah.
The theft occurs before the person gets it. Once they get it, I kind of feel like they've earned it, you know? They've waited in line in the bank of hell, the welfare department. They've been around crazy people. They filled out a bunch of paperwork. That's going to be an unpopular opinion, but I don't know, man. I feel like once, I wouldn't do it. I am literally disabled. My doctor told me over this past year, like, he's like, if you want to get on disability, I'll fill out the forms for you. And I'm like, no. I'll beg for my fans before I'll do that. So I'm literally disabled. I almost want to do it just to get the parking placard, though, you know?
Yeah.
So I can park right in front of the post office when I go in.
That's not really hard to do. If you can just prove to them that you can't use a touch-tone telephone, that's good enough.
I can use a touch. That's actually one of the. I have to be hooked one of the guidelines. I this week has been bad. This is kind of funny, but kind of sad. I literally like yesterday. I took a shower, and lately, like, and my wife wasn't here to help towel me off, and taking a shower can be so like tiring to me that like I need oxygen afterwards. So I took the oxygen tube in the shower. I took a shower with the oxygen tube on. And that's why you should donate to the Freedom Fiends, because I'm suffering for our art. Okay, anyway, Cantwell. Oh, talk about him stroking his gun. Oh, somebody told me they've been in his house where he was joking around and putting a gun in his mouth. And somebody else told me today they think he's going to kill himself by the end of the year because he's in such a downward spiral. But What about this gun thing, touching the gun thing?
Oh, that was in the other video where he admitted very proudly that he's a fame whore.
Yeah.
But as he said
well,
it,
well, you know, he pays us to talk about him.
Oh, of course.
He doesn't really, but a lot of people tell me the only reason they ever look at his site is because we complain about him. But go on.
Yeah, well, whoever I wasn't even really paying attention to who he was talking to, but whoever he was talking to was, as he said very proudly that he's a fame whore, he just kept talking, and you see he's like he starts eyeing down towards the gun and looking up and looking down and then he starts just stroking it with his index finger. It was very creepy. It was almost like he was trying to send a message to people. I don't know.
He also just bought a crap load of guns and is still saying, "I'm terribly broke. Send me money." And it's like, you know what? He doesn't even know how to handle one gun yet. Really doesn't. You know, they say fear the man with one gun because he knows how to use it. That guy is like endangers anyone around him when he's handling a gun. Mm. Apparently, including putting one in his mouth.
I could easily see that happening. It was funny though because it actually
used to do newts with him, right? He used to snort newts with him.
that was before my time. It was funny. I actually looking at his whole setup there because I don't really watch the I call it the racist agita, but you know, because that makes more sense.
I call it government cheese.
But
I think we should call his podcast government cheese from now on.
That works too. But just looking at it, it actually almost looked like a set from that horrible movie Alongside Night, because he had all the propaganda
like
up behind
desk.
Him. And then he had stacks of boxes of bullets and stuff, you know, like trying to get everything
like
he possibly could cram
cliche.
In the shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did he also do the Pledge of Allegiance?
Everything he owns is on that desk. Send him money. All right.
Hashtag we'll please donate.
No Cantwell for the rest of the show.
I can't make that promise. I can't make that promise.
Get the Android app, freedomfiends.com. It's free, and it's a libertarian reindoctrination center in your pocket.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Hey guys, did you hear about this article in the New York Times that talks about all the honeybees dying? You know, Albert Einstein said that if all the honeybees die, then humans die too. What do you think about it? Come on, Jake, take an interest in science. You know why you should care about science? It's because you have a perfect face.
By the way, we should talk about that movie. So everybody has been like telling me you got to watch The Happening, and I'm like, no, I don't like M. Night Shyamalan. I think he's like a one trick pony. He made one good movie. Some people say that Unbreakable wasn't that good. I just thought it was mediocre, or that it was good. I thought it was mediocre. I hated Signs. Everybody seems to like it anyway. Yeah, and then he made The Arrow, The Last Airbender, The Lady in the River, and those were so bad, so I was like, I'm not going to waste my time on The Happening, especially if everybody says it's bad. But everybody was saying that it's like so bad that it's wonderful, and they're right. I ended up watching it, and I was like, wow, this is fascinating. So you saw it, right?
Yeah, well, I said last night that I wasn't going to sit through another movie like this, but I found some time today and brought myself to do it, and yes, it was hysterical.
Yeah, but it's not a comedy.
No,
that's the
no.
Yeah. Well, actually, I don't know, because originally M. Night Shyamalan was like pitching this an interview saying like, oh, it's a thriller, you know, we were doing test screenings and people were really genuinely like scared. And then by the time the movie started coming out, like it shifted to, oh, it's a B movie. You know, you're supposed to be entertained by how silly it is. So I don't really know if he was like, if it was intentionally like that or if it was whatever. If it was intentional, then M. Night Shyamalan is a comedic genius. If it's not, he's just a terrible hack. But it's, you don't really know what's weighs which. And the whole time you're like watching the movie laughing and then wondering, all right, is this genius or terrible? I can't decide. Well,
I think that makes it a win for him because he left it so ambiguous. Yeah, I can't even say that word right now, ambiguous, that you have no idea. And it could go either way. So, But yeah, it was just, I mean, granted, at least the acting was better than Alongside Night, but everything else.
I can't agree with that. Like Donnie
the faces that Zoe Deschanel makes. I mean, that was just pure that was like Shakespearean. It was beautiful.
And what about and the face the whole time, like Mark Wahlberg, who's like the star of the film, has this look on his face like he doesn't know what's going on. He just has this look like where am I? I don't know where I am. And everything is a question. I'm totally normal. Roll back water. Keep on rolling. See? I'm totally normal. Like, there's a part where he ends up talking to a plant.
Yes.
And it's not even a real plant. He's talking
And I'm still doing it. Why am I still doing it?
Why am I still doing it? It's beautiful. It's so beautiful. And so I guess we can spoil the film because the film spoils itself like at the very first scene or the third scene. The first scene is like showing all the people killing themselves. And then like he asks like some one of his students like, hey, do you know what happened to all the bees? Is it global warming? It could be. Is it the pollution? It's possible, but there's no bodies. Keep trying. And then the other one, and then the kid was like, maybe it's some act of nature we'll never fully understand. Now, in science, we'd go, nah, that's not a good answer because you'd have to, you know, you want to try to find out what that is. Even if we can't explain it, you want to still do testing and do, you know, all that stuff. But, sure. Yeah, not in this movie. That's a good answer.
Yeah. Like, we'll never
know. What? Yeah, we'll never know. You have a perfect face, Jake.
What did he say there? Sure. So they'll come up with an answer to put in the books, but in the end, we'll just never know. But yeah, it was. It's funny because I mean, I've seen enough Mark Wahlberg movies, and he usually plays essentially the same character because he's him,
or a convict.
Yeah, but it was or that both. Character. Mixed with like Dudley Do-Right or something, but because everything, you're right, the inflection in his voice and just everything was just, and he looked like perpetually confused the whole movie. He didn't know what to do. He was never sure.
Of course, there's always, like, everybody has a quirk in the movie, right? Zooey Deschanel's a mannequin. and then you have Mark Wahlberg, who's a science, like everything's a science. Like, hold on, guys, I gotta isolate the variables, do the test, and then you have, John Leguizamo, who's like his friend, who's the math teacher. And of course, his quirk is math. Everything is math. Like, so I calculated the probabilities at 67%. I think that's not going to happen here in Philadelphia. I did the numbers. Okay. And then, like, when he was in the car, he was trying to calm a girl down. He was like, all right, I got a math riddle for you. If I gave you a penny today, and then two pennies tomorrow, and then four pennies the next day, and I kept doubling it every day, what would you have by the end of, you know, by the end of the month? $10?
No, it's more.
What? Anybody with the brain would know that it's, you know, like, thousands of dollars, at least tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands.
I think we can cut her some slack. You know, she was screaming, she was seeing dead bodies everywhere. But even with him, it was like everything was just so telegraphed. There really wasn't much like anybody who was going to die.
With Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists who think you need a government permission slip for everything? Everything you do is an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it. Create true free markets by adopting the BIPCOT No Government License. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows use or modification of any product, service, or software except by governments or government agents. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
couldn't do well enough to leave it alone.
Never call the police. Yep. Never. Never. You guys see Better Call Saul tonight?
Oh, it was on tonight? I missed it? Ah!
Can't wait to learn from it, man. Never call the police. That was the moral.
I'm going to put a gun in my mouth now.
Yeah, that that weaselly guy who's selling pills that hires Mike as a guard. You know him?
Yeah, I did not watch that show.
Yeah.
It's he been calls like, the what? Police.
It's been like a year since it's been
gonna
on.
Going to get him busted, man. I watched them all that the other night.
I need a refresh.
Yeah, I would. I never got into that. I was sure you guys talking about it. I just never got around to watching it.
Oh, it's a wonderful show.
Yeah, I definitely want to add it to my list. I got sucked into some of those new Amazon Prime shows that I've been binge watching the past couple of days.
So I just wanted to say I was on here bragging, like, yeah, man, use the Freedom Fiends app, and then I'm on the internet when I get off here. I'm bragging on Facebook and the Twitters that, yeah, man, listen to the Freedom Fiends on the new Freedom Fiends app. Check it out. You can listen to LRN on it. Immediately after I type that, LRN goes down. For like 10 minutes. Because Ian
you broke the internet.
No, Ian's testing a new router and like had to do it during a live show for some. No, I don't know. But he has to get up early. So, but yeah, it was kind of ironic. Like, yeah, man, we're great. Check us out. And then it doesn't work. It wasn't the app. It was Ian. But yeah. Ian, God bless him.
Yeah.
Cantwell's friend too. He still likes Cantwell. He's nice to him. Somebody's got to.
He's perfectly normal. Little backwater. Keep on rolling.
Happening.
See? Totally normal.
He's a narc.
Well, now we're not just making that up. Now we know he definitely is. Yeah. Proud literally. Of him. So, yeah.
Yeah. Jim, that noise is coming from your end. Did you?
I know it is. Do you want what me to? It? Do you want me to go back down to the basement and fix it again?
I do, Jeremy. Right. So fill in, Jeremy.
Sure.
He's so going cool. down to the wine cellar.
He's leaving.
The crack cellar. He's going down to the crack cellar to get some good 82 crack.
I don't know what he's doing over there. Sounded like he was fighting with his cat earlier. I don't know.
His cat's. He's got a bobcat. You know that he's got a pet bobcat. It weighs like 28 pounds, and it eats chihuahuas for breakfast.
I could use one of those in my neighborhood. Maybe how about my rabbit infestation?
She's a Norwegian forest cat. They're basically small Maine Coons.
Yes, okay.
No, I told everyone you have a pet bobcat that eats chihuahuas, and you're on your way down to the crack cellar to get some vintage 82 crack.
I heard. I didn't take my headphones off. So, yeah. Headphones on. No, it's just my computer's just right there. That's why you can hear it. So I don't know what's going on, but like the back part of the fan on my computer is making this weird noise, and it just started today. So I don't know.
You know, you got to vacuum computers out from time to time, right, Jim?
But that's what I just recently did it, and now it's doing that. I think I blew some dust in it. blown dust out of it.
You have to open them up and blow the dust out of them. You don't blow the dust.
That's what I
them.
Did. I did. I opened it.
Maybe it didn't tighten things up all the way, Jim. I don't know.
Yeah. Well,
the fan could just be going. That happens eventually.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to have to get a new fan. Yeah.
Yes, Michael.
Jeremy, do you have the Freedom Fiends app on your Chrome Robot Turd?
Yes, I do, and I love it.
Did you review it on Google
Play? I actually have not. I was gonna do that tonight, but
Jim did. He said he didn't pretend he wasn't on the show. He's like, this is great. I can hear myself even better now. Cool. I liked it.
I did use it all weekend because I usually use Stitcher for most of my podcasts, and it's been down all weekend, so I couldn't get all my other shows. So yeah. I just hit the 24/7 button, and I'm just like, I'll just listen to random shows.
How long did you listen to it?
Actually, I listened to it a good 3 or 4 hours yesterday. Caught a couple of
shows.
You
notice that the icon for that is Alex in Clockwork Orange being strapped in for the Ludovico technique.
Yes.
I changed the image from 1.0 version to 1.1. The original image is him like 10 hours into the Ludovico technique where he looks horrified. And the picture I'm using now, he's smiling. It's right before they start. And he's like, maybe this will be okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like I said, it was very convenient for me. And it was funny because you mentioned earlier with Nick when he first started. I actually caught one of those shows way back when, and you can actually hear the change in his voice too.
Yeah, yeah, his fruits dropped since he's been on the Fiends.
Caught some even older shows. I caught some of your Michael Dean After Dark shows.
Yeah, you know, sometimes somebody, there are people, like, I check the stats on that, and it's generally, like, between 5 and 10 people on it. Mm-hmm. But sometimes there are people on for between 3 and 7 days, and I'm like, what are they thinking, man? who are they brainwashing in some windowless bunker? Yeah.
Well, you just leave it. Well, I don't know. I mean, if I had something like this back in my construction days or something, I'd probably just leave it running constantly all day long and just, you know, leave it in one room as you're wandering around.
Well, you know, I've actually been to businesses where they have NPR on, like, the whole business day in the office. It's kind of weird, but, like, a print. There was this punk rock print shop where I got my first novel printed called Punks with Presses in Oakland. That later
and
got,
they were playing NPR?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
they're playing weird. NPR. One of the guys there was kept joking. I don't know if he's joking or not about how one of the old presses they used is the best one for counterfeiting $100 bills. And then the owner of the place got shut down because the guy was having sex with underage boys. It was it was very punk with presses. But they played NPR really loud. Like, a print shop is a loud environment, you know?
Well, you kind of have to play NPR loud to hear it, because everyone's like, hi, welcome to NPR.
Welcome to Delicious Dish. Yes.
We're wondering why Donald Trump is so popular amongst conservatives today. Today we have our wonderful guest, Mr.
Chris Cantwell.
Well, they have to talk like that to lull their audience to sleep.
We googled the phrase conservative idiot, and the first thing that came up was Chris Cantwell. So we've got him on the phone right now. Chris, why do you like Trump so much?
Because he's such a wonderful guy.
I'm sorry,
ma'am. Are we still doing the Edith voice for Cantwell?
Yes, yes. I'm sorry, ma'am. Is your husband there? I'm looking for Chris Cantwell, the male of the house.
Oh, this is him. It's really me.
Why do you like Trump so much?
1488. I love it.
That's racist, man.
Yeah, it is.
That's racist.
Yeah.
But that's what Cantwell does now, 1488.
Ugh.
Exactly. Indeed.
Ugh. Yeah.
Well, if anything else, he'll help weed out, you know, the rest of his
I know. Yeah, you know, I've always said, and this is a really good argument I've heard, like, against outlawing hate speech, is no, it should be legal. You should know, you know, which baker is homophobic and racist so you don't shop there. And, and you know, Cantwell being what he has become and shown his true colors and newts coming out his ears, you know, we can see, like, which libertarians to not associate with that aren't real, that are really Trump followers that want to throw people out of helicopters for smoking weed and having butt sex.
Well, Chris Cantwell's helicopter rides. That service will never exist. Sorry. Trump will never be president.
Trump has a helicopter. He's probably got a fleet of them.
You know, I really want to see, like, someone recut The Happening, all the death scenes, all the hilarious death scenes, but, like, superimpose Cantwell's face on every single body as they're leaping off the building.
You did a really good job. One of the first things I did with you was doing a voice on that Batman thing with Bane in the airplane.
Oh, yeah.
Which is just an epic scene, anyway. It's, like, the best scene in that whole series.
But the dialogue is silly. That's why it's
so... Yeah.
Of course.
You do that so well, man. And are you talking into your coffee cup? How do you get the echo?
Yeah, I'm talking into a coffee. It's actually a coffee cup. There's, like, a little bit.
It sounds like it. Hey, I got good ears. I'm the bad audio removal guy. I can tell a coffee cup from a coffee can.
It could have been. I've actually used a beer cup before, and I've also used a beer stein. I think the stein has more echo, and it kind of gives that more Baney voice, but all I have around me right now is a coffee cup.
Chris Cantwell's audio is getting better. Is that okay to say?
Yeah, but his voice sounds worse. It's a fair trade-off.
And the good audio means you can hear it that much better. I think I'm responsible for his better audio, because when I came into Liberty and started making podcasts, like, 6 years ago, everybody sounded horrible, and I started yelling at everybody and offering to teach them how to do good audio. That's how I met Ben Stone. I wrote him an email and said, great show, horrible audio, let me help you. And he ignored me. And later I asked him, he's like, oh yeah. I was like, who's this guy? I don't want to talk to him. So 3 months later, I wrote him again and ended up helping him with his audio. And it kind of just trickled out, and everybody's audio got better in Liberty because of me. And it got to
except for Lou Rockwell. Lou Rockwell still won't listen. Tom Woods still lets on everybody who's got a webcam mic. I think there was a radio show that let me on when all I had was a webcam mic. What show was that? I think it was this one.
Oh, Molyneux's guests sound horrible.
Oh yeah.
If I ran a high demand group, I mean not a cult, a high demand group.
Of course.
I like that I called the Fiends a high. The Freedom Fiends app is your gateway to the high demand group that is the Freedom Fiends.
It's like, yeah, Michael, I know I have a show tonight. Quit bugging me. You're going to be on tonight, right? What? No.
Oh, well, you guys know that the Freedom Fiends app has special things so I can watch you guys, right?
I'm reporting it.
I call the authorities.
Okay, talk about the happening. I'm done.
Okay.
I'm out. Have a good show.
All right. Take it easy. Nebulize one for me. So
the death scenes?
Back to the happening. The death scenes are amazing, aren't they?
They are. Like, they are.
Yeah, they're supposed to be like scary, and it has that kind of weird like dun dun dun. But people are jumping off of buildings and putting chopsticks in their neck and hanging themselves and getting ran over by a lawnmower. Yeah. But you just can't help but laugh because it's a wonderful, brilliant comedic timing every single time.
Well, yeah. Well, the girl on the bench with the chopstick or the knitting needle, whatever it was, like that one actually made me laugh out loud because her friend was talking to her the whole time. But then as soon as she stuck it in her neck, her friend stopped talking, which is like, oh, this is normal. Okay.
What page am I on again? Oh, you're at the part where the guy does that one thing. Oh yeah. Why are they reading the same exact sentence? Like, why are they reading it? Like synchronized reading.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, she knew exactly. She knew the story. I don't know. Maybe it was a telepathy thing. I don't know. There was a lot of unexplained stuff. But I think I said off the air before, my favorite was the lawnmower scene because the guy, like, it was such a long setup.
Yeah, like he goes up, turns on the riding lawnmower. It's like an industrial, like a farming lawnmower.
Yeah, it was huge.
And then turns it on and lets it go around and make a loop around, and then he jumps in front of it. My favorite was the lion, where he hops in the lion pen and lets them, like, maul him to death. And he's showing this little girl inside the restaurant, like, here, look at this life-changing, brutal scene. Oh, my God.
The timing of it was just all funny.
Yeah.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
$8.02. Just ordered my copy of The Happening. And I'm going to cherish it because it's a wonderful, terrible movie. I don't know if it's a terrible movie. I think we've already been over that.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's an intentionally wonderful movie or an unintentionally wonderful movie, but it's hilarious. All right, so
comedy, whether it's meant to be or not. So go see it if you have not already.
I mean, I could watch. There's actually a clip of YouTube, and we should probably send this to Michael so he can put this in the show notes. But it's just all the death scenes.
you found it?
Well, I saw it on YouTube a while ago.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if it's still there, but I'm gonna find it. If not, sorry. Everybody in this movie, like everybody in every Shyamalan movie after probably Signs, has like this quirk, right? Where that's all they do. Like, I'm a mathematician, so everything I talk about is going to be numbers and statistics. Yep. So there was a scene where, like, he was going to hand his daughter over to Mark Wahlberg and Zooey Deschanel. miscast Deschanel, totally miscast for this show. She was terrible in this. I like her. Like, the movies that she's in and I've seen, I've liked. She does a great job, but this was just, I don't know what's going on. But he hands over his daughter, but before he does, like, he's like, hey, you want me to throw out some statistics to make you feel better? Yeah, go ahead, man. Yeah, 63%. 63%, we're going to be okay. It's not going to happen in Princeton. Oh, man, that's wonderful. And then he hands over his daughter, and she's like, here, I'll take your daughter. And she's like, don't you touch my daughter's hand unless you mean it. What? <Wow. laughs> But yeah, everybody has this quirk. But the best quirk was the hot dog guy.
the hot dog and plant guy. That's all. Yeah, that's all he knew was hot dogs and plants. And,
We loaded. We packed up some hot dogs for the trip. You guys like hot dogs? Hot dogs get a bad rap. They got a cool shape, lots of protein. You like hot dogs, right? All right. Did you bring the mustard?
Yeah, exactly. I was just going to say that. The world's coming to an end. Nobody has any idea what's coming on. His wife comes up back out of the house. His first question to her is, you bring the mustard? Because
I don't know what's going on. That. Yeah. But hey, you know, next time we know, if there's a terrorist event where there's this chemical that's causing people to commit suicide, I know to bring plenty of hot dogs. No, wait, he dies.
Don't do that.
Always, yeah. Bring a mood ring. I think that's what, mood ring.
You need a mood ring, and you need to follow, like, the opposite rules of every other horror movie, apparently. Because, you know, normally you want to stay in a big group. This tells you to split up. Separate yourselves as much as possible. So you can be killed
there's
alone.
There's like this needless plot point where they're talking about how they're having a fight. And it doesn't, like, well, it does have an end, I guess. I think. We don't know. But they're, like, talking about how they have, like, the relationship problems. And her relationship problem is she had tiramisu with some guy.
Yeah.
Specifically tiramisu. And they make it very clear it's tiramisu. Like, there's tiramisu, there's hot dogs, there's honeybees. It's like everybody's eating in this movie. Or, like, I think they was hungry when they were writing this movie or something. Yeah. And then he was like, what did he say? I have the quote here, actually. He was like, well, I thought I had the quote here. I scrolled down a bit. Oh, yeah. If we're going to die, I want you to know something. I was in this pharmacy a while ago. There's this really good-looking pharmacist behind the counter. Really good-looking. I went up to her and asked her where the cough syrup was. I didn't even have a cough. I almost bought it. And I'm talking about a completely superficial bottle of cough syrup, which costs like $6. What?
Yeah, that was his way of competing with her.
Her response was called on. Are you joking?
That was their. It was a touching moment because she thanked him after all that. It was very, and the ending. I said before, I'm still waiting to figure out what happened at the end. It just went from everybody getting murdered to everything's fine again. No worries.
Okay,
no,
so my theory is, what happened is they were at this crazy lady's house, and this crazy lady is beyond crazy. She, like, the whole time she was like, are you eyeballing my lemon drink? I suppose the right thing to do is let you in for dinner. And then they're having a peaceful, like, happy conversation, and then the kid reaches for a cookie, and she, like, slaps her hand. And then there's just an awkward pause.
Yeah, nobody says anything.
You got plan on stealing something from me? What? No. Plan on murdering me in my sleep? What? No. And yeah, she has like this thing, and they're talking through this tube from this house because it was a slave house or whatever. Yeah. And they get back together, and they get rid of all their emotional problems. And then it shows the time when it happens, and then there's no more happening. That's the end. And science can't explain it, and they'll put some answer in the textbook. Like I said, it was spoiled in the first act.
Oh, you know, nobody pays attention that early on.
But it's wonderful. I love this movie. Everything about it is wonderful.
I concur. I would definitely recommend other people watch this insanity.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free Android app for your phone, tablet, phablet, or other Chrome robot turd. The app is available now from the Google Play Store. from Amazon, and from freedomfiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode feature, and so much more. You know, the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world. But when the fiends aren't live, you can also use the app to listen to LRN.fm from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends. Review it on Google Play and Amazon. Prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio, and get ready for lip there with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms.
And we're back. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Re-Education Center's Low Orbit Ion Cannon, high atop Financial Peace Plaza, on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017, in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows for use by anyone except for governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. So we're back. I've lost Jim and Michael. So this is Jeremy, and we'll just carry on. Hopefully Jim's escapes the joint
fiend by phone.
Return theory.
Fiend phone. Oh,
Michael came back.
This is Furries, the Fiend Phone, unnecessary random re-education interruption exigency system. Hi, guys.
Hey, Michael.
You know, you're talking about tiramisu. I always thought that a great name, I wanted to write a second novel just because I had a great name for the main character. It's going to be a really, like, kind of salacious punk rock chick named Tarot Me Sue. I thought that was really funny. Nobody else seemed to, but yeah, man.
I think it could work.
Yeah, Tarot Me Sue. So, you know, Derek J was saying that to pronounce Uruguay, you have to sound like you're punched in the stomach. Uruguay. So I told my friend that, and he's like, I wonder what it would sound like with a little kid saying it. Uruguay. Not that I think it's funny punching little kids, but the sound is funny. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. No, don't punch kids. Arm kids against bullies. Like in Wyoming, man, they teach Castle Doctrine in kindergarten. They teach hunting in like eighth grade in public schools here. They teach gun safety in schools here. And I'm not sure, but I think in this state it's legal to shoot someone for giving you stink eye. I'll have to look that up, but it's got great Castle Doctrine, I'll tell you that.
Well, that's the way it should be. I mean, heck, even when I grew up in Pennsylvania, they were still doing, you know, shooting, you know, rifle classes and stuff in school, and then they just took it all away because...
My brother in the 60s used to bring a .22 rifle and a box of bullets for it on the bus to school. For a class that the Boy Scouts had after school, at the school, in riflemanship. Can you imagine today
gosh, like
a ninth grader walked onto a school bus with a rifle and bullets? They'd kill him.
Yeah, they'd have the bus surrounded in seconds.
Yeah.
Like the National Guard.
They'd hit a couple other kids, too. Uruguay!
No, which one's got
phone.
Oh, wait
Fiend
a minute.
Phone.
There.
I got droned.
Uruguay. You did.
Say it. Say Uruguay, Jim. Uruguay.
Uruguay.
Now,
Uruguay.
Say like you're getting shot in the stomach.
Uruguay.
Uruguay.
You are a gay. That's what Homer calls it. All right. So, so if you're going to talk about The Happening, I think you have to point out one thing to tie it in with your other movie reviews lately is that, unlike Alongside Night, which was done on a shoestring budget and with a first-time director and, you know, like one...
Second-time director.
And like one D-list actor and then a bunch of non-actors. The Happening is as bad or worse and as comical and has no excuse because it's got like A-list star, A-list director, huge budget, Hollywood, everything. You know, it's they got no excuse, man.
Yeah, it was with 20th Century Fox. No excuse
Mark
whatsoever.
Mark Wahlberg. Someone said Mark it was Wahlberg, a Mark Wahlberg.
M. Night Shyamalan.
Movie. Someone said it was a Mark. It was a Donnie Wahlberg performance out of Mark Wahlberg. I like that.
Yeah, that was the trailer.
The only thing Donnie's ever
what
been
the
in
F
that
is
I can,
happening
that I can remember, Donnie Wahlberg is in What's the first Shyamalan movie? The I See Dead People. What's it called?
Sixth Sense.
Is that his first movie?
Was he in this?
No, it wasn't his first movie. There was a couple other ones, but I think that was his
good
first one that he wrote and directed and everything.
Yeah. But Donnie Wahlberg's in that. Did you guys know that?
I haven't seen that movie in so long.
Yeah. It's very forgettable. Well, there's a scene where, you know, the psychiatrist played by, what's his name?
Bruce Willis.
Yeah. Comes home and there's a burglar in his house. And it's a skinny, junky-looking guy in his bathroom in his underwear. And Bruce Willis's character says, like, I have no drugs or money in the house. You're not going to find what you want here, because he thinks he's a junkie. And he's like, you don't remember me. And it's actually the ghost of someone he couldn't help as a kid. But that's Donnie Wahlberg
playing
that junkie guy. Yeah.
See, I only remember he was in the Saw movies, I think, or at least a few of them. I think that's what I remember watching him in.
But. Yeah, you know, Entourage is based on the life of Mark Wahlberg. Yeah. And the younger brother drama is based on Donnie Wahlberg, or the older brother.
What was that thing saying that it was basically Sex in the City for guys,
for men? That's great. Yeah. And you know what I didn't know too? You know, drama plays the less successful brother. The guy who plays him is the less successful brother. Yeah, it's Matt Dillon. I had no idea, man.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
That's funny.
I knew that he played John Densmore in The Doors, but I didn't know whose brother he was.
Oh, that's funny. That was actually one of the few things I did catch on early on with that. I figured that out. I was like, that's pretty funny, because he is.
Yeah, that's why they cast him in that. He doesn't have to act to play the frustrated, less successful brother of a successful actor. I don't know how successful Matt Dillon is at this point either, but...
I think he's kind of... Might be washed up.
I think the last thing that I remember him being in was Something About Mary, and that came out, what, like...
God.
Oh, no, he was definitely in stuff since then.
Was he in Sleepless in Seattle?
But Stuff That Matters?
I never saw that, so I have no idea. Wasn't
he? I've never seen that.
My friend Tad.
You could ask any girl, they'll probably know.
Hey, he was great in Wild Things.
Well, Sleepless in Seattle is like a dumb... romantic comedy that happens to have some grunge bands in it. Like, it has Alice in Chains in it, and it has Tad, which is like the first grunge band.
There's a man in the box.
Yeah, I like them.
Screw you, man.
My first concert ever was Alice in Chains.
You guys seen that movie called This Is 40?
No, I still haven't seen that yet.
With what's his name from The 40-Year-Old Virgin?
Steve Carell.
No, the other guy. No.
Seth Rogen?
Nope, the other guy.
Paul Rudd. Paul Rudd.
Yeah, Paul Rudd. He plays a guy who like runs an independent record label, and his wife is just like ready to leave him because he's blowing all his money, signing like Graham Parker from The Rumor, you know, like 30 years after his last record. He lives with his wife and his two daughters, so he's like surrounded by estrogen. You know, there's like he's the only male in the house, and he's kind of cocked by these women, kind of baited by these women. And they're like, they come in, they're like, we like music. And they come in the bedroom and they put on like, God, what's the horrible Lady Gaga? They put on Lady Gaga and start singing and dancing along with it. And the mother's like, this is what people want to hear. Why don't you sign someone like this? And then he takes the iPod out, takes the iPod from his pocket, puts it in the docking station, and it's playing Man in a Box by Alice in Chains. And he's like headbanging, and all of a sudden his wife and his two little daughters look depressed. And they're like, this music makes me sad, Daddy. And I'm like, no, this music's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Did you only watch Wild Things because you knew that Denise Richards was going to be topless in it?
Yes.
I think that's the only reason why any guy ever watched that movie. Which here's what I don't understand about Denise Richards. She was in Starship Troopers, everybody was naked in that movie. Everybody was naked in that movie except for her. But she's totally okay with doing
it's pretty much a soft war.
Oh, okay. So. Not really. The book was written by
not the same book, man. That movie.
No, I was going to say, yeah, it's not. It's
the title.
It's totally
they bought
different.
The title, and that's it. That's what they should have done with Alongside Night. It's a good title.
Yeah.
Just buy the title and make a different movie. You know that movie is filmed in Wyoming, right? Starship Troopers. That
like, oh, I thought you were going to say like no. I was going to say Alongside Night was filmed in Vegas.
Grump. No, yeah. It was filmed in Devil's. What is it? Devil's Hole? Hell's Half Acre, which is like 20 miles from me. It's this weird hole in the ground that's kind of like a mini Grand Canyon with like stalactites. I mean, it looks like another planet, and it doubled for that weird bug planet in that movie.
I think you mean stalagmites.
Yeah. Yeah, tights have to hold on tight because they're hanging from the ceiling. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it's like Google images and look up Hell's Half Acre. It's weird, man. Visual humor on the radio. But last time I went there, too, it was like, it was weird because it was closed. There's a restaurant that used to be there, and it's like, it looks like a ghost town. It's all dusty and falling apart. And somebody had dumped like 10 deer heads in front of the restaurant. Like, I don't know why. Like, some poacher had taken 10 deers and cut their heads off and just dropped them, you know, where he thought was out of the way. But to me, it looked like a warning. Like,
go no further. 10 deer heads will stop you.
So have you seen most of the landmarks in Wyoming?
I've seen Devil's Tower. Been to Yellowstone.
I've been
to Yellowstone. You know what's not a landmark that you should visit if you come here? Is the Cody Museum in Cody, Wyoming. It's
The jackalope?
It's got like five museums. No, this is like real museums. It's got the biggest firearm collection that's available to the public in the world. It's got like Natural History Museum, Firearm Museum, Native American Museum, like oil and mining museum, and like wildlife museum. It's amazing. And you know, it's like a $20 ticket, but you can't even see it all in one day. It's great. And especially the, you know, if you want to see, it's one of the only places you can actually see one of those guns that the government was going to drop in Germany. What were they? The Liberator. They have one of those little, like the ones that Cody Wilson named his gun after, you know. Mm-hmm. That thing? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, see, I need to start seeing a little bit more of Nevada.
The world.
Being that I'm going to be a fake Vegas nationalist, that's like my thing. I love it. But, yeah, I pretend to be a fake. Yeah.
You know Steve Miller does ghost tours in Philly, right? Do you know about this?
That? Yeah.
I mean, he has a day job. He has a night job. He's like 40-hour week job as like a stage manager at some theater. But you know, like plays and music and stuff, theater. But I don't know. Maybe he works concession there, but he works somewhere that like Penn and Teller perform. I know that. And the Jerky Boys. He performs where the Jerky. He works where the Jerky Boys perform.
Oh, it hurts me. I'm merciful. Yeah. Oh, I fell down the stairs and my shoes fell off.
But he has this part time. Not the Jerky Boys. Trailer Park Boys. Sorry.
I was like, yeah, we're gonna do live prank balls.
Not the same thing.
No. So. But he does ghost tours part time, like a couple days, a couple afternoons a month. It's like you give tour, like history tours in historic Philly, but like about the ghosts, and it's spooky, you know, like this is weird. I don't know how he does it, but it sounds interesting. I think you should do that in Vegas. Start a niche, man. I'll build you an app. I'll build you a Lulbert's app. It'll be like Uber, but like, bring me a ghost tour right now. And the nearest ghost tour will show up and give you a ghost tour.
Lulbert's ghost tours.
There you go. Now that I'm an Android programmer, apparently.
You're listening to
the Three Spooky Fiends. Five Me.
I learned
go
in one
to
night.
Fiends.
Too much caffeine.
To help keep it drone-proof.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Hey, bro. I've got a question. dad sat me down and said, "We're going to watch this movie, son." And I said, "All right." And I didn't get it. I was 12 years old. I had never seen any British comedy or anything. So I didn't get the humor. I literally just sat stone-faced. And when we were done, he looked at me and he said, "So?" And I said, I don't understand. So he proceeded to stop and explain the entire movie to me and then said, "Okay, now we're going to watch it again." And that time I laughed till I cried and I never stopped. Like, I've watched that movie. I've probably watched that movie more than any other movie in my life.
In order to maintain airspeed velocity, Swallow needs to beat its wings 43 times every second. Am I right? Please! Am I right? I'm not interested. It could be carried by an African swallow. Oh, yeah, an African swallow maybe, but not a European swallow. That's my point.
Maybe if two of them got together and held it, put it on a string. The coconut on a string.
So. I don't know, man. I still think, like, what? No.
If you Google what? No. Just Google that term. The first thing that pops up is a video of the happening. Yeah. I swear. It's the most popular use of what? No in the universe.
In 10 years, this is going to be a new cult classic. Everybody's clamoring for it.
Yeah, but speaking of murdering people in my sleep, what? No.
Have you heard all these conspiracies about Obama, like, having Antonin Scalia killed? Antonin Scalia? Scalia killed Anton in his sleep.
Yes.
Why is it that anytime anybody dies who is beloved by, or not even beloved, but, like, moderately liked by a particular group, it's always like, oh, it's a conspiracy. Oh, it's a conspiracy. He was killed on purpose. Like, no one could ever just die of a heart attack. I mean, Anton Scalia was a big guy. He was a big guy. He's an older guy. Overweight and male kind of cuts down your life expectancy just a little bit, just a smidge.
What was he, 70? Was he 79? I thought I saw, or was he 69?
Yeah,
I
don't remember.
79. So, like, I mean, yeah, it's unfortunate. You know, it's, I mean, not that I really particularly care about any of those silly people in their black robes, but, you know, somebody dies, it's unfortunate. But I think the thing is that this one makes sense to have a conspiracy theory come up right away, because the hardcore tinfoil hatters on the right have been doing this since Obama came on the scene. So they've been trying to find anything they could pin on him. And the story that came out, I guess, yes, if you're in a more conspiracy-minded mindset, I guess, to begin with, you see the story and it's, I could see where they would go with it, because, I mean, what's the story now? That the guy, the ranch belonged to somebody who was an Obama supporter. He was the guy who found him. This is the story I read, that apparently the guy, because the only thing that came out originally was that the person who found him was the person who owned the ranch and just said, "I found him laying in his room and he was dead." But then it became, well, he was laying peacefully on his bed, his clothes weren't wrinkled, and there was a pillow over his face. Then it turns out that the guy who owned the ranch and found him supposedly turned out to be a big Obama donor. So as soon as that hit the airwaves, the conspiracy theorists were off and running.
Yeah, wasn't this also the same ranch that Cheney was staying at when he shot that guy in the face?
I think so. I'm not positive. But I think so. I think you might be right about that.
Something that I heard. I don't know if that's true, but even still, it's like, he's an old, I mean, I think the only thing that I've heard, I didn't hear that. The only thing that I've heard that was like some sort of evidence was like, oh, well, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, so much older. How come she didn't die? Well, because she's thin and a woman. If you're thin and you're a woman, that kind of increases your life expectancy. The average life expectancy of a person is about 80. So an overweight person dying at 80, that's pretty good. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Why didn't this person die? Because genetics. I mean, I don't know. Like, how do you answer a question like that? Why didn't this person die? But again, it doesn't really make sense, because why if that was the case, not that I would put anything like that past the federal government, because they have been known to do things like this before. But
of course,
you know, what purpose does it serve right now?
Yeah. Republicans own the House, both houses, and they're planning on blocking every single appointee that Obama plans to give.
Yeah, and they pretty much.
I'm not sure. I could be totally wrong, but I think I heard some chatter when I was at work that Obama was planning on not doing any nominations. I don't know if that's true. It could be false. But even still, the Republicans are going to be able to block anything that comes their way.
Yeah. So, and they kind of made that a pretty much a declaration before this even happened. They just kind of said that, you know, with the last year thing, we're not going to. And then, of course, you see the stories flying that the Democrats pretty much did the same thing towards the end of Bush's term. They were just like, oh, no, if anything happens, we're not letting anybody get through.
Yeah.
Wait till the next president.
It's a very poorly thought out conspiracy.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a very poorly thought out. Move back after this free trip to the free market.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Yep.
So what were we talking about again?
I have no idea.
Oh, yeah, Scalia.
Guys in robes falling dead somewhere. I don't know, something along those lines.
And I think out of all the Supreme Court judges, you said you don't care about them. I sort of do. That's probably like the one institution where I kind of have any interest in.
Mm-hmm.
I think Scalia was definitely the most based. Like the guy just didn't care what anybody said or anybody thought. He just said it. And except for some of the social conservative issues, he kind of knew what was up with the Constitution for the most part. Yeah. If you're into the Constitution, which I'm not.
No, he definitely did seem to be relatively on point when it came to that stuff. But
what's concerning everybody is that he was probably the only one that they could really count on for gun rights. Yeah. Like, that's the only thing that they really could count on. And now that he's gone, if Obama gets someone elected, then, you know, they could retry D.C. versus Heller.
Sure.
And we're done. They're going to be taking our guns.
Yeah. See, that's the thing with all the conspiracy theories get kind of weird for me, because it's like, okay, let's assume you folks are right and there was some nefarious things going on here. Like, how do they hide that then? By then bringing somebody in before Obama's term's over and then miraculously getting something on the docket for guns all in a very short order without everybody going, "Hey, wait a minute." I mean, I know the masses are kind of ignorant and sometimes stupid on the whole, but I don't even think they would fall for that. So, I don't know. I mean, I guess we'll see. That's the only thing. It's, you know, no matter whether Obama gets to pick somebody or whoever the next one is, I don't think it really matters.
I'm sure he's probably going to at least try once. Yeah. at least get the ball moving, because I think that if they just have total stagnation, someone would file some suits. But
definitely.
That's going to be it. Like, he's going to try and that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. This is like the worst, most poorly thought out conspiracy theory I've ever thought of, I could even imagine. It's like, okay, we killed him. Now what? Dang it! All right.
Step one, kill the judge. Step three, guns taken away from everybody. What's step two? I don't know. We'll figure that out later.
Question mark. Step four, profit.
Profit.
it's annoying that anytime anybody dies, no one could just die. No one could just be like, oh, yeah, you know, he had cancer. No, it's Obama done put a cancer in his drink.
He poisoned him with the cancer. That's what he did. But, well, you know, like I said, it's so many people. This is the thing that drives me nuts, because a lot of these people are looking for answers because they know something's wrong. But
something is wrong. Don't get me like.
I know something's wrong. They're just looking anywhere but the actual problem.
Yeah. So the problem is you need to stop eating so much junk. Take a walk every once in a while, and you'll or maybe Anton Scalia should have resigned when Bush was president and he had the Republican control, right?
Yeah, right.
Then, well, I guess Sandra Day O'Connor did, but whatever. But I'm just tired of everything being a conspiracy. Like nothing can just happen. Nothing can just happen. It has to be like some overarching plan to take our guns. Which, by the way, this whole thing like Obama saying, "Oh, it's a conspiracy theory. I'm trying to take their guns." It's not. It's really not. I mean, the guy has praised the Australian gun. The mandatory gun buyback program where everybody basically disarmed everybody in Australia after that killing or whatever. He's praised it. So to say that this is some kind of conspiracy, kooky conspiracy theory, it's not. I mean, like, the guy is on record saying that he appreciates a program where they take everybody's guns away.
Well, yeah, but most of the left politicians have a lot of them are quoted in different places saying something along those lines, you know, all throughout the year. So of course that's not a they want to consider themselves the anti-conspiracy theorist, automatically just go, oh, that's all you think it's Obama, it has to be Obama, and he doesn't, or they make fun of him. Well, nobody's guns have been taken yet. Well, that's not actually true either, because people have lost their guns in things related to the ACA, of all things. People have lost, here in New York, there's people that had lost their guns because of medical records, because of stuff that was shared with a psychiatrist. And, that's supposed to be confidential. But now with the ACA, where they're supposed, where they want the doctors to share certain information, people have lost their guns over that. You know, because they saw a psychiatrist once or twice or something, and that meant, that they must be unstable. So now they shouldn't have guns anymore. It hasn't been massive. It's been like, a couple here and there, but to say it won't happen is just false, because it has happened. But to say that, on the flip side of that, to also say that it's crazy is kind of naive too, because they've all mentioned it. He said it, Clinton said it, they've all said it at different points in time that they believe everybody would be a lot safer without guns.
I think Nancy Pelosi said something extremely very, very pointed. That there's no ambiguity that she definitely doesn't think anybody should have guns. It was her or Feinstein? I can't remember. But
Both have it. Feinstein definitely, because Feinstein was the. Now I forget which one of the two of them.
Boxer was Feinstein. One of them, yeah.
No, but one of the two of them was working as a politician in San Francisco when Harvey Milk died. I always forget which one.
Okay. So here's a story about that. After he died, they had to do an election, and Feinstein was running. To try to balance it. But the person that was running against her was Jello Biafra from the Dead Kennedys, who was planning to make it a law that all businessmen are required to wear clown suits, and he was going to ban cars from the city, and there was a few other crazy platforms that he had that were just hilarious. But he was even vacuuming leaves out in front of Feinstein's house as a press event, which was brilliant. But he's a nut job, but real good music. But yeah, that's the story. Yeah, she was basically trying to pick up the pieces after Milk and the mayor was killed. What was his name? Oh, I can't remember the name.
Yeah, I forget the mayor's name. But yeah, but that was the whole thing. But then she kind of ended up in charge over there, and then like nobody was allowed to have a gun but her. She was like the only one who had a CWL or whatever they have out there, CHL, whatever it is.
I remember what it was. Cause so Dan White was the councilman who shot Harvey Milk and the mayor. What he wanted to do was he wanted to erect a statue of Dan White, and then charge people for bottles and tomatoes to throw at the statue for city revenue. It's a good idea.
That's creative.
And it's a voluntary tax, right?
You go.
I got a fun government. I'll be right back. I'm going to go throw bottles at Dan White.
See, I may actually be able to get on board with that.
Well, Rothbard was quoted saying something along the lines of, like, the lottery is the only legitimate form of taxation because it's voluntary. People pay to pay, they're stupid enough to pay for a ticket. Yeah. they can do it. So,
well,
so yeah, that kind of makes sense. Yeah, that you would have like a government service where you would say, hey, you know, but then you also have the problem of government land.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Who knows?
Maybe if it was on private land, someone donated their land to it, but yeah. Who would do that? Government? Ugh.
No.
So square.
Hey, I'll do it. I'll rent out my front lawn for stuff like that. There you go.
For the government? Ugh.
Yes.
I thought we were friends.
I'm just kidding. Well, I mean, I guess I could charge them whatever I wanted, but I'd end up paying for it anyway, so that just wouldn't work. Yeah, no.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, this one's going to go away. But yeah. So with this whole Scalia thing, I mean, you know, like I said, the conspiracy theorists have to come out because they got nothing better to do. And as sad as it is, there's still people today that are desperately trying to prove that like Obama's still a Muslim or something. Like they just don't know how to let it's amazing. They have the memory retention for this, but they don't remember anything else that happens every 4 years and the same stuff keeps happening. And they just go, oh no, it'll be fine this time. Don't worry about it.
I think everybody forgot that Donald Trump was like the biggest birther ever. I think everybody forgot.
Yeah, I know.
I will give $1 million to whatever charity Barack Obama wants if he could show that he was born in America. And frankly, he's black. I don't like him. But frankly, I think that he was born in Kenya. It's true. And Bush did 9/11. Sorry, he did. He was president, right? He did it. Or something. Yeah. I don't know. I have a feeling that really messed him up, but
yeah. Well, I don't know. Like I said, it's just crazy that the attention spans are in some areas are so focused and in others. But you know, like I said, we're gonna have to wait to see what happens because you know, if Obama manages to get somebody in and then they start trying to pass
sir, his name is Obama. Bummer, because bummer. That's what you're supposed to say when you find out he's president.
I forgot to speak in neocon.
Stairs in neocon. What'd you call Obama? it's sad that he died. I mean, he is the state representative, but he was probably the only one that actually cared about guns.
Yeah.
One of the few ones that cared about guns. The other guy that Bush appointed, what was his name? The one that approved Obamacare.
Roberts.
What was his name?
Roberts.
Yeah. Yeah. What a disappointment that guy has been. So who knows what he'll stand on it.
Yeah, well, I mean, they've been doing this forever anyway. I mean, the whole current system is based on the perversions of the Supreme Court going back, you know, generations and generations and generations. Yeah. So.
Yeah, and the Interstate Commerce Clause is probably the worst written thing ever. People say it's a Second Amendment, but it's not. The Second Amendment's pretty clear. You're just trying to be a jerk by trying to kind of like nitpick over commas.
Yeah, exactly.
And the first part of it. But no, the Interstate Commerce Clause really kind of messed everything up. That's what allowed, you know, Obamacare, because Interstate Commerce.
Yeah.
What? Yeah.
Well, That and any time the phrase "Congress shall have the power to," that was a big issue too.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
they're gonna.
And maybe the only thing Alongside Night got right was the interpretation of the First Amendment. Congress shall pass no law.
Yes.
Period. Period.
That sums it up nicely for me.
Yeah, that bad joke was probably the best thing.
And that was all the way at the end too, wasn't it?
Yeah. Congress shall pass no law. That's the new amendment.
Yes.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
buddy. Take an interest in science.
Oh, Mr. Moore.
What? No. So tell me about guns in New York. New York.
Well,
are you in Long Island? I am
in Long Island. My accent is not that thick, thankfully. Yeah, they have these silly little things called laws around here. I don't think they want us to have many of them. It's much worse in the city. You pretty much can't own anything inside the Manhattan city limits. You have to, I think they still pride themselves on giving out concealed carry permits, but you literally have to be a celebrity and pay them on top of it just to get one of those. It's a little more lax out here, but not much. You know, we have the SAFE Act from Prince Andrew, who wanted to take everybody's guns away after Sandy Hook, and he just had to be the first one out there. So it's everything outside of shotguns are supposed to be registered, and they even tried to push for those too. I think they were trying to ban airsoft guns for a while. Those actually still may be banned in the city. I don't know. It's so ridiculous. Like, they don't, you know, unfortunately, the very progressive Manhattanites rule the entire state, even though they, you know, the population is still only, I think, a fifth of the entire state, but they control everything, so.
Yeah. I know actually a group of ANCAPs that live in the New York City, Manhattan area.
Oh, yeah?
I think they all live in Queens and Hell Kitchen, but they all kind of get together and do stuff. I should probably hook up with them. They do the Hans Herman Hoppe high preference hour.
Oh, yeah?
It's a big thing with ANCAPs. I think Michael Malice even goes.
Oh, I'll have to check that out. I try to stay away from the city in Queens if I can avoid it.
I just don't understand how you could be an ANCAP and go, hey, I want to live in New York, like all the cities in the universe. It's like, what?
Well,
I moved from LA. I could not stand LA anymore, and it was mostly because of traffic. And then they started doing things like they were talking about, oh, we're going to ban garbage bags or not garbage bags.
Plastic bags, right?
Plastic bags from grocery stores and stuff.
Yeah,
and
I was
like, they're talking about increasing taxes for even like the paper bags. I was like, this is getting ridiculous, and it's too expensive to live here. I just need to move. And one of the places I looked at was New Hampshire and Vegas, and I liked Vegas more because, sure, you know, they're libertarian over there, but they're not only libertarian here, but we also have no snow, and we have things like blackjack and hookers. So it was like, it seems just a slightly more libertarian route that I want to go. So even though I've never gotten the hookers yet, hashtag please donate, and I will do a review of Sherry's Ranch. Anytime you want to donate a couple $1,000 for me to try it out, I will do a full review, video and everything, three parts alongside night, everything. I will
there
do it.
Go.
But yeah. But yeah, I just don't understand, like, oh, forget all those places. What about New York?
What? Well, in fairness, I mean, I know I am. I think most of the other ANCAPs that are still here, we weren't ANCAPs when we started. But these guys were. All right. Well, they have no excuse then. At least I still have an excuse. I don't know, man. I've always tried to spin it as positively as I can. Because between my business and my kids, I am kind of tied here at the present moment. So I try to make the best of it, because I figure if I can be successful at anything here in regards to pushing back the state, then nobody has excuses anywhere else. If I can get anything done here, no matter what it is, if it's any small thing, then nobody really has an excuse. Because, I mean, California and New York, I mean, the new rankings just came out again, and I think New York is still the least free state to live in.
Yeah, I know New Hampshire and Nevada definitely ranks number one.
Actually, in that one, New Hampshire,
New
Hampshire wasn't even on the. I don't even think New Hampshire was in the top five in that list.
I think Wyoming too.
Yeah, well, that's because there's nobody there. But shh, don't tell anybody. Michael,
just Michael Dean.
Coming in.
Just Michael. Yeah, Michael Dean and his
they're full
million guns. And his million guns. That's the population of
sheep, tumbleweeds, guns. Sounds like my kind of place.
Yeah.
All right.
Worms.
By the happening. By the happening. Yes. Watch it all the time. I'm going to watch it again.
I may actually put it on to go to sleep tonight.
Yeah. I mean, I really did buy it, by the way. I mean, yes. It was actually live radio yes. Amazon buy of a film.
We have the proof. I don't know if I want to give M. Night that much money, though. Maybe people should just rent it.